I became an atheist because as a graduate student studying quantum physics, life seemed to be reducible to second-order differential equations. Mathematics, chemistry, and physics had it all, and I didn't see any need to go beyond that. Mathematics, chemistry, physics, they had it all, and I didn't see any need to go beyond that. That is the description that Dr. Francis Collins offers of himself as a young man. When he was a researcher, a physician, and a physicist, Francis Collins' credentials and accomplishments are well respected in the scientific community across the world. Dr. Francis Collins has been serving as the 16th director of the National Institutes of Health since 2009. Prior to that, Dr. Collins served under three presidents as the director of the Human Genome Project. And as a gifted medical student, a young physicist as well, a young scientist, Francis Collins thought that it was most convenient to not to have to deal with God. Most convenient to not to have to deal with God. In his own words, frankly, I kind of liked being in charge myself. I liked being in charge myself. All of this changed for the young doctor when one of his patients told Francis Collins about her faith. One of his patients told him about her trust in God and her God's love for her. And she asked the young doctor, "What about you, Dr. Collins? What about you? What do you believe?" Francis Collins, in his own words, he said, "I stuttered, I stammered, I hesitated. I felt the color rising up in my face. And I said to her, I don't think that I really believe in anything. I don't think that I really believe in anything." And in that moment, he said, it seemed like such a thin and inadequate answer. He was unsettled. He said, "I was a scientist who was supposed to draw conclusions from the evidence, and I realized at that moment that I'd never really looked at the evidence for and against the possibility of God." The young doctor, Francis Collins, he described feeling that his worldview, his sense of self, his sense of his own place in the world was suddenly under attack, all prompted by the innocent question of one of his elderly patients. That he was under attack as a young genius with an innocent question from an elderly patient who had simply shared with this young doctor her own sense of God's presence. He called it a thoroughly terrifying experience. Just a question. And it sent him on a quest to discover some answers. I wonder what sends Nicodemus out into the night in search of answers. Maybe he's having a terrifying experience. Although Nicodemus is not ostensibly an agnostic or an atheist, Nicodemus is asking questions about God, or at least what he thought he knew about God. And there is an itch within Nicodemus that no amount of his learning and his experience, no amount of his repetition of his own conversations about God will quench, because Jesus is creating something new within Nicodemus. For me, this conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus is not unlike the conversation between the young genius, the young doctor, and his patient. They are both speaking from what they know as their reality. And Jesus introduces a word to Nicodemus that is necessary for those who will be in a conversation with God. In the Greek, you pronounce it anothen. Some say anothen. It simply means from above, anew, from a different place. And Jesus is saying, without being born from a different place, from above or anew, you won't be having any conversations with God. Nicodemus splutters out what he knows about being born. This second order differential equations about birth. How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? He's just repeating what he knows about being born. But Jesus is opening a window in Nicodemus's mind. The new birth, the birth from above, the birth from another place, that brings a conversation with God that is something like how the wind is blowing through the trees. It's not merely linear. It's not simply matter of fact. It is not simply the communication of quanta and data. Jesus is telling Nicodemus, and he is telling us, that we are invited into a new vocabulary and language. Invited by an experience of God that is certainly both beyond us, yet also available to us. And this conversation has to do with depth, with the meaning of life and reality, rather than simply measuring its mechanics. I find that prayerful conversation in my own life. I find that prayerful conversation early in the morning when I wake up and I start to read the Bible. And it might take me 30 minutes before I begin to listen to what it's telling me. But I sit there and read the words until I'm ready to receive them. And sometimes that conversation is hard to have. I don't know how to say a prayer, but what I'll do is I'll take out prayers that have meant something to others, and I will scribble them down in a journal in my own handwriting until they begin to speak to my heart. Sometimes prayer is difficult. Not everything in life gets to be easy. Sometimes I begin to pray after a really long run when my body is exhausted, but my heart is open. And I'm certainly praying in this room in the evenings about 5:15 when we fill this space with beauty and holiness and music that speak of prayers that I don't yet have the words for, but that I know are real. And I pray in the homes and the hospital rooms of friends, and sometimes strangers. This prayerful conversation, it's that place in my life where the wind is blowing. It's where the wind is blowing. Where the Spirit is coming and going. That's where that I can find that presence that is anothen, that is from another place, that is anew. And what I find in those prayerful conversations, those moments, I find that those moments often carry the smallest whisper. And that voice is whispering what I know to be true, that I was not made simply to live in this world. And that if I find myself uncomfortable in this world at times, it's because I was born to be anothen in another place. That wind of prayer is often telling me that my heart and soul have another home. Maybe that's why Nicodemus is out walking around at night. You see, the difficulty that I find in my prayers, and I often find in the prayers of others, is that we want God to participate in a conversation that we are already having, either about Him, or that we simply have and we toss in God's general direction, or we're having a conversation that we really have no intention of changing. But I have a vision of that young genius, the young doctor, Francis Collins, who is confronted by by the simple faith and reality of one of God's faithful children. And how that young genius is certain about so much, but also uncertain about the things of ultimate concern. And how the young doctor is left wondering if anything is really out there. Is all of life simply a matter of the acquisition and mastery of more information about a universe that is born from below? A universe that has no penultimate destiny. Sometimes the trick is to turn the conversation around and discover the language that God is already sharing with us. Sometimes the trick is to turn the conversation around and discover the conversation that God has already begun. And that conversation is love. Because God has already begun a conversation with this world and with our lives. It is a conversation that begins with God saying, "I love you." Not a different version of you, not the version of you that you work so hard to present to others and sometimes to yourself, but "I love you in your reality, and you are already enough. You are already enough for me to give something very precious for you." The conversation that God shares is a conversation of encouragement. Do not be discouraged. Be encouraged. "Don't you see I have so loved the world, and I have so loved you, that I have given something very precious for both of you. And I see you struggling to speak to me. And though you may try to take the long way round to avoid me, I will find you. I will find you as the wind is blowing. I will find you." And so if we can enter that space with the young genius, Francis Collins, enter that space of questioning with Nicodemus, if we can understand that space is already filled with God's love, the conversation has already begun, then perhaps the most significant part for us to play is simply to listen. And to listen how God has loved the world. Listen to how God has loved each of us. Perhaps if we will listen in that way, we might find that our words don't just float away when we pray, as emptiness seeking emptiness. Perhaps if we listen for this wind of God's love, we will discover that our words are actually keys in a door. That our words actually lift a latch on a door to a house that stands in the true country that we were born and created to inhabit, which is not this one. It's the one in front of us. The young Francis Collins, the physicist, the physician genius, he entered his own season of learning and discernment. And he writes that as an atheist evolving into agnosticism and seeking answers as to whether or not belief in God is potentially rational, "My life was turned upside down over 35 years ago by reading C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. And within the first 3 pages, I realized that my arguments against faith were those of a schoolboy, a man with decades of graduate education. Within the first 3 pages, I realized that I was a schoolboy. I knew I had to make a choice." On a beautiful day, Francis Collins was hiking in the Cascade Mountains on his first trip west of the Mississippi River. And he was visited by God. As he was hiking, he rounded a corner on the trail, and he looked up and saw the unexpected yet mysterious beauty of a frozen waterfall. Completely still, glistening, hundreds of 2 feet high, something that should not be there suddenly being there. And Francis Collins took that as a sign from heaven. And in that moment, he said, I knew my search was over. I knew my search was over. He writes that the next morning, I made my choice. I knelt down in the dewy grass next to my tent as the sun was rising, and I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. In the words of the King James, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit.